I'm sad to like hear, oh, another person is experiencing this. And what's trippy about it is that like most of the time from the people I hear from, they are not even given any kind of diagnosis. And half the time their culture will come back of like, oh, I got it for a UTI. And it turned out I didn't even have a UTI and it, you know, destroyed me. So that's one of the biggest things that I feel kind of responsible for at this point is like paying it forward and just letting people know that, you know, something as simple as an ear infection or an eye infection or a UTI or mild stomach discomfort, you can be just prescribed a fluoroquinolone antibiotic. And so I really just try to, you know, instead of saying like, this is what I would do, it's really not about that. It's just like, just make yourself informed on the topic.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to another episode of the Keto Diet Podcast. This is one of the last, not the last times I will say this, but one of the last times that I will say welcome to the Keto Diet Podcast. I want to share this publicly so that I actually move forward with it because I have been I have been marinating on this for over a year, and I just need to go out there and say it so that I move forward because I've had cold feet there and back and there and back again. We need to rename the show. And I feel like if you've been a longtime listener, you've probably thought, Leanne, what are you doing? You need to rename the show. And I've just been hesitant because there are so many aspects of the ketogenic diet that I personally practice that it makes up a huge bulk of the work that I do with my clients. And I will forever love the ketogenic diet for what it did for my health. However, over time, the show has turned into more of a functional wellness show. And I want the title of the show to match the intention behind the show. And as the intention has changed, the title needs to follow suit. And so we will still be talking about a low carb lifestyle, looking at the world from a functional perspective, from the lens of a low carb approach, but the name needs to change. And so over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're going to start shifting things around a little bit just in the name. The episodes will still be what you know and love. The flow of it will be the same. I'm not changing anything else other than the title of the show. And if I'm being honest, over the last year or two, really the strategy behind the show has shifted to be more of a functional wellness show as I continue to look for guests that challenge my ideas and I know will challenge yours, even outside of the ketogenic diet template. Now, this doesn't mean that I'm stopping coaching on keto. It doesn't mean that now I'm eating all of the carbs and I'm never going to eat keto again. It just means that I'm trying to have a broader scope. I remember like a little story time here. In 2009, I was sitting around the campfire with my parents and my husband, who wasn't my husband at the time. He was there. Kevin was there, my mom and my dad. And we were just chatting about this blog that I wanted to set up. And I was really excited about it. And I had nailed down a name. It had the word vegan in it. And my dad looked at me. He's like, this is a terrible idea. And I was like, what do you mean a terrible idea? He's like, Leanne, if there's anything I know about you over the last, I think I was like 21 at the time, the last couple decades I've known you is that you are constantly evolving and changing and vegan works really great for you now, but I am pretty certain in a couple of years, you're going to find something that's going to challenge you more and you're going to learn everything about it and you're going to educate people on that. And he was so right. And so over the course of that weekend, we came up with the name Healthful Pursuit. And I am so thankful for this brand. I am so thankful for the company that we built back then. I can't even comprehend that this was 15 years ago and so much has shifted and moved and grown within the company. If there's one thing that I don't love about the name, it's that it's very challenging to pronounce and very challenging to communicate. Healthful Pursuit. A lot of people don't know how to say pursuit, spell healthful. It gets very confusing. And so that's one thing that looking back, I wish I would have thought through that more, but it's so true in that this really is a pursuit of health in the best way that we can. And our guest today follows this so beautifully through one of the most challenging circumstances I think I've ever interviewed somebody on. And so I'm so honored to get to share this guest with you today. And I also wanted to just prepare you for some of these changes over the next couple of weeks so that you're not like, what's happening? So the next couple of episodes, I'll kind of be teasing what's going on and why. So when you log into your favorite podcast player in a couple of weeks, you're not like, where did the Keto Diet podcast go? This sucks. What's Leanne doing? It's really the same show. We're just renaming it. Everything else is going to be the same. Okay. So now that we have all of that out there, and I'm so happy that I shared this with you because now I have to do it. Whereas before I was like, maybe I'll just, and now it's out there. I got to do it. And now I'm accountable and it's just going to happen. So our guest today is Kylie Woodland. She's a passionate singer, songwriter, and recording artist with a deep commitment to health advocacy. After experiencing a severe adverse reaction to a commonly prescribed antibiotic, she founded Celebrate the Little Wins to spread awareness and support affected individuals. Kylie aims to help others discover their natural ability to heal and overcome anything. Her story is, oh man, so epic. I hope you'll come along this ride with me with just like a really open mind and a ton of compassion for individuals. And maybe you're one of these individuals who has just been ruined by certain health decisions that, looking back, maybe you feel like you didn't actually make a decision. A decision was made for you. And if that's the case, I am so deeply sorry and grieved that that is something that occurs. And I hope that in sharing her story, you'll hear the amount of hope that she has and trust that she has. It's just an incredible episode. I hope you love it. And if you want to connect with Kylie, her Instagram is Celebrate the Little Wins. Her TikTok, the same thing, Celebrate the Little Wins. We also have a toxic relief guide to share with you. So check out the show notes for that link. And then her website, celebratethelittlewins.com. Okay, let's cut over to our conversation with Kylie.
Hey, my name is Leanne Vogel. I'm fascinated with helping women navigate how to eat, move, and care for their bodies using a low-carb diet. I'm a small-town holistic nutritionist turned three-time international best-selling author turned functional medicine practitioner, offering telemedicine services around the globe to women looking to better their health and stop second-guessing themselves. I'm here to teach you how to wade through the wellness noise to get to the good stuff that'll help you achieve your goals. We're supporting your low-carb life beyond the if it fits your macros conversation. Hormones, emotions, relationship to your body, workouts, letdowns, motivation, blood work, detoxing, metabolism. I'm providing the tools to put your motivation into action. Think of it like quality time with your bestie mixed with a little med school so you're empowered at your next doctor visit. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn about your body and how to care for it better. This is the Keto Diet Podcast.
Kylie, how's it going?
It's going great, Leanne. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. At least you got my name right the first time. We just had a fake recording and we won't go live with that. Thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been a long day for me. Has it been a long day for you?
It has. But I'm glad to be here with you. It's an honor and I love following your journey online. It's been so refreshing and just really glad we could connect.
Oh, same with you. It's so fun. Like, social media sucks in a lot of ways. There's this current trend going on right now. Maybe you've seen it, of like social media being fake and behind it. This is kind of like what's going on and how challenging life is. And there are those aspects, but the coolest thing about being on social media is that things like this get to happen, where I was just scrolling through Instagram reels and I saw a video of you just like sharing what was going on in your life. And I was like, wow, this human is amazing. I need to have a conversation with her. And here we are. Aww. So thanks so much for coming on.
That makes me so happy. I did partake in the social media's fake post. But what's been interesting for me going through such turmoil and having my life like turned upside down in the last few years has been coming to this realization point that I did actually want to share like the really terrible things that I was going through to help others maybe feel not so alone and to help myself not feel so alone. And it's created such a blossoming, beautiful community out of it. And I think that's just a really cool thing to remember is like social media is a tool for us to express ourselves. And there's not really like, there's no perfect way to go about it. And so you can share intimate details about your life or things that you're struggling with. And in my experience, it just opens up like the floodgates to meeting the most awesome people.
Yes, totally. There's that vulnerability that comes, you know, and it's really cool having kind of been in this space for quite a long time. Like I was around before Instagram was even a thing, and we would share like little mini updates on Facebook. Yeah. And so I'm it's so cool to see the progression, you know, and some of these people, I mean, there are individuals listening to the show right now who I met on tour, who have like followed me over 17 years. And it's just so crazy the depth of connection that we can make with a tool like this. So it definitely has its positives, negatives. I would love to start off by you just introducing yourself a little bit and kind of giving us maybe what lights you up. You chatted about it a little bit of just terrible things that have happened and you felt alone and you didn't want others to feel alone. Can you get into a little bit like broad scope, what that kind of looked like for you?
For sure. It's mildly entertaining for sure.
I like that you have that spin on it. Like you've gotten to the point where you're like, it's mildly entertaining.
I think you get to a point sometimes with trauma where you just have to start laughing at it. And like that is the route to healing for me right now. I am a singer-songwriter and recording artist. I have put together multiple musical acts in the past, toured around, opened for Kiss and Sarah McLachlan and Sheryl Crow, and done a lot of things as a musician and performer. And as I was on my journey of, you know, in my mind, becoming one of the biggest successes in the music industry, I'm going about my life. And I start having this pain in my side. This pain in my side starts persisting. And I grew up in a really, really holistic household. I was born and raised vegan, remained that way for 28 years. I was like the person converting everyone in my life to veganism because I loved cooking. You know, I was always like so gung-ho about this type of lifestyle. We had our own garden. I was learning about Chinese medicine and giving myself acupuncture when I was 5 years old. Parents are both very holistic, you know, health practitioners, yada, yada. The whole nine yards of very holistic upbringing, right? So here I am in my mid-20s having this pain in my side. And at first, I started trying all my different holistic healing modalities, Chinese medicine, homeopathics, meditation, all that kind of stuff. What I realized was that I had surrounded myself with people who did not truly support me and who I was and who I was growing into as a person. And I felt stuck. So here I am thinking I'm building like my dream project, doing everything I can to, you know, the daily grind every single day. And I start having increasing health problems. Anyway, fast forward a little while, I still have this pain in my side. Something's like just gnawing at me, nagging at me, being like something is not right. And I essentially go one day after a few weeks in bed, not being able to really like walk much because I had this pain in my side, lots of GI issues, and I go to the hospital. So I'm in the ER and they immediately give me an IV, this whole cocktail of steroids and antibiotics. And I was like, okay, like this is the first time, you know, I'm ever in the hospital or the ER. And pretty much the first time in my life that I'm trusting a doctor. And what happened was I get administered antibiotics, right? They're like, we're just going to give you this just in case. And I'm like, okay, yeah, like that. Like it makes sense, you know? No idea as to what was about to come next. So this is 5 years ago, by the way. 5 years ago, I'm sitting there, I'm getting an IV full of antibiotics and steroids, whole concoction of stuff, just in case. Didn't have any cultures or anything come back to say, this is the only thing that will help you. It was just kind of a, we're throwing some stuff at the wall and we'll see if it helps you. So I was like, okay, yeah, okay, I trust you, doctor. Anyway, I come back from the ER, I start going about my life again, completely changed to a carnivore diet because my body at that point had rejected. I realized that my body at 28 years old was rejecting everything that I was used to eating, like soy and legumes and grains and vegetables, fruit, like literally everything that was my diet, my life, my lifestyle, my identity. I had so much identity in my veganism. And in that moment, I had the humility to say, if what I was doing was working, I would be getting a different result. And it was very, very hard for me to make that switch because, you know, I was the one that was constantly repping, like, I grew up this way and this is the way and this is what's right, period. And the only thing that really kind of took me from this place of, you know, thinking that I knew what was right for myself to being like, I know nothing is feeling like I was on my deathbed. I felt like I had gotten to the point with these symptoms. I didn't know what to do. Nothing I was doing was working. Anyway, long story short, I start transforming my life in these different areas. One of them was with diet, and I pretty much switched to slowly switched to like an all carnivore diet and, you know, little bits of maybe like rice and stuff every so often. But my body really couldn't handle anything else. And I was just like, this is like the craziest, weirdest experience for me of like, I literally never had dairy or meat in my entire life, not even one time, to being like, my day consists of like bone broth and homemade gummies and steak and, you know, all these things that are just like, how could you ever
not
do that?
Vegan.
You know? Not vegan. All these things are not vegan, right? And I was like, but I start experiencing like this amazing healing. And fast forward 3 years after that, I am living in Boulder, Colorado. I'm like, I have a new lease on life, but I start feeling kind of like increased brain fog. And up until this point, from the hospital to 3 years later, I had symptoms that started to pop up, like muscle aches and pains, but they would like go away. I started to have brain fog and insomnia and be like, I have no idea where this is coming from because I've never experienced these symptoms before. Things like dry mouth, pretty much constantly. Vision got a little bit, you know, but I was starting to see like a lot of healing in these other areas like GI and stuff. Anyway, I'm working on my feet, summer of 2022, working very long hours, and I come home and I'm starting to have this pain in my lower back. I had a really busy week and normally would never take an NSAID, but I had them in my cupboard and I was just like, okay, like curcumin, everything else that I'm doing is not working. I'm going to take one because I have to like pull through on this week. I take one, I start feeling increased, more of the brain fog and more of these like more neurological symptoms. Then I take another one the next day. And after that, I couldn't walk. And I was like, this does not make any sense. I spend a few weeks on the couch and this happened for the next about 4 or 5 months where I would have decent weeks of just being able to do my normal activities, working, whatnot. And then I would have weeks at a time where my joints would swell up. I wouldn't be able to walk. Excruciating pain where it felt like someone was like sawing off my limbs. And then it would just like poof, go away. Anyway, few months of that, I get to the point of I am immobile on my couch downstairs. I can no longer walk even a step on my own. My partner has to pour water into my mouth because I could not use my hands anymore. They were like crippled in so much pain. It felt like someone was sawing my limbs off with like a steak knife 24 hours a day. At every joint, it was, I literally felt like I was in a torture chamber and I had no idea what was going on. I thought maybe it was a slipped disc or something. X-rays proved that none of that was wrong. And I start praying and just meditating to the point of being like, I all I can do right now is like open my eyes. So this is my only option. Like I don't have the ability to scroll on my phone. I don't have the ability to literally do anything. I can't eat on my own anymore. I can't walk to the bathroom. I feel like my body's going to explode. I start having this like suicidal ideation. I start experiencing psychosis. I can't look in the mirror anymore because of the visions I was seeing. We couldn't even turn a light on in the room because the sensory issues were so extreme. And simultaneously, my joints are swelling up. I mean, it's something like out of, and these are just kind of like scratching the surface on the symptoms I was experiencing. At that point, I had about 70 symptoms and I was completely at a loss. I had no idea what was going on. And my thought had, I literally had no thought about, you know, what I took 3 years ago.
Why would you? Like, why would you even think about that? Yeah.
Right. So I'm praying. I'm like, you know, this is my like last ditch effort at being like, I'm now thinking of ways to end this daily, like constantly. I have no quality of life. I'm laying literally, I feel like a corpse. And as I'm meditating, as I'm praying, I start getting into this space of, I feel like, I'm talking to like my guardian angels. And I just remember saying like, please send me the solutions, like connect me with the people that I need to be connected with to that'll help me get out of this. Like, I need your help. And I think like one of the interesting things I've learned about that, and we can touch on this more later, but you know, when you are in dire situations and you actually do reach out for help and you say like, I need help, please, God, guardian angels, whatever it is that you believe in, universe, please help me. Like, then resources and solutions will be sent to you. I think a lot of people, when they're going through hard times, are kind of like, oh, well, like, I'm not sure if I believe in that because, you know, why would this bad stuff be happening to me if that existed? But in my experience, when I was at my most dire, things were not happening for me until I started asking for help. So anyway, I'm laying there, I'm asking for help. And one day I'm able to like pick up my phone in my hand. And I believe I clicked on Instagram. And the very first thing I saw was, I was floxed. And it was an article leading to like a blog or something. And I was like, I've never heard that word before in my life. But I clicked it and I start reading about it. And there's this girl, the picture was her using a walker. And the first thing was, I took Cipro. And I'm just like, mind blown. I knew instantly, like reading her story, I was literally experiencing like the same thing. I mean, it was my own version of it because everyone reacts a little bit differently. But what I found out later was that NSAIDs can essentially like contradict fluoroquinolone antibiotics. And what I was given was a fluoroquinolone antibiotic, which are a very strong class of antibiotics that the FDA says are only to be used in life and death situations, which means you have a culture test come back that says nothing else can help you or save your life. Fluoroquinolones may just save your life, but they are meant to be used in life and death situations, and they are currently not being used only in that way. So I had a reaction to them. It's called a delayed onset reaction. 3 years later, you know, while having some minor symptoms pop up, like, you know, fatigue and anxiety and such. And I just didn't relate it to that because I had no idea that there was any relation point. So my world essentially turned upside down from there. I've been on a healing journey ever since to specifically heal from fluoroquinolone toxicity, which they often refer to as being FLOC.
Let's talk about the symptoms of hypochlorhydria, also known as low stomach acid. Abdominal pain, bloating, gas, diarrhea, constipation, undigested food in your stool, acid reflux, heartburn, sound familiar? Out of all of the patterns I see in my clients' hair tissue mineral analysis and even in their blood work, low stomach acid is a huge issue. What helps stomach acid? Sodium. If you're on a ketogenic diet, chances are you are not consuming enough sodium. Now, sodium is the body's great solvent. It's a primary alkalizer and it influences stomach acid levels. If you're dealing with allergies, abdominal bloating, depression, dizziness, fatigue, low blood pressure, poor protein digestion, like you eat some protein and it just feels like it sits in your stomach, even weakness can be because you don't have enough sodium. Now, my favorite way to boost my sodium on a daily basis is to take at least 3 packets of Element electrolytes per day. That's a little bit hardcore for most people, but I tend to be a little bit more adrenal deficient. And so taking these electrolytes while I'm eating a low carb or even as deep as a ketogenic diet just takes things to the next level. I've been using Element here for over 2 years, and I can say they are the best electrolyte powder, hands down. If you've never tried Element, or maybe you just haven't found the right flavor for you, you're in luck. My friends over at Element put together a really sweet offer for us. Right now, Element is offering my listeners a free sample pack with any order. That's 8 single serving packets free with any Element order. This is a great way to try all 8 flavors or share them with a friend that's maybe on the fence about joining your electrolyte party. Get yours by going to drinklmnt.com/KDP. This deal is only available through my link, so you must go to drinklmnt.com/KDP. Element offers a no questions asked refund also. It's totally risk-free, so if you don't like it, share it with a friend and get your money back, no questions asked. Again, that's drinklmnt.com/KDP.
I can't even imagine, had you not found that article, and I'm sure you've thought about this, like how many practitioners, because if you show up to a doctor's office with the symptoms you're presenting with, they're probably going to think you're nuts. Like they're probably not going to put everything together. And the fact that the first moment that you had just a minuscule amount of energy, the first thing you find was the very thing you needed is just mind blowing. Like that is such a blessing because so many people go through years and doctors and searching and trying to figure out what happened. And the fact that you just landed on that so quickly. And I wouldn't say so quickly in that it sounded like when you were in that space, that must have been really challenging. And I can understand why now your drive is to make sure that people don't feel alone, because I couldn't even imagine how alone that would have been. Is that kind of how you realized at the beginning you had talked about you had surrounded yourself with people that didn't know you, didn't care about you and didn't support you? Did that kind of come to light once you were in that space kind of alone where you didn't have anyone?
That's a good question. There was definitely a lot of different versions of that for sure. In that moment, I was no longer touring with that group. So what I will say about the experience is that something like antibiotic toxicity really seems to not only like ruffle feathers, but it seems like it makes people question their like internal beliefs that they've had for sometimes their entire lives. You know, I think a lot of people feel like, how could anything like this exist when, you know, doctors are meant to take care of us, or our healthcare system is meant to take care of us? Like it makes people question their internal beliefs. And in my experience, and since sharing my story online and being connected with thousands and thousands of people all over the world who are going through this or have gone through this, they say the same things, is that, you know, they've been outcast by their family and friends. People stop talking to them. Doctors tell you that it's just anxiety, or they tell you you're crazy. It really flips your world upside down, like in every sense of the word. And not to discount like any other maybe disease or illness, but I think a lot of the more like, quote, like common diseases that we're used to hearing about, a lot of people say, oh, you have that? Oh, like, I'm so sorry. You say that you were like disabled by an antibiotic and put in a wheelchair for a year and a half of your life. People are like, yeah, you're Looney Tunes. Like,
yeah,
like you're crazy. Peace out. And the amount of people that like we've even experienced since all of this happened is, it's been enlightening, you know, and I think you really learn who's willing to be there for you and willing to show up. But moreover, I think as a society, like we are not taught how to show up for people who are really struggling. And I think like one of the most helpful things, you know, if you know someone who is going through hell and back, if they're just doing their best to survive whatever it is that they're going through, like the best thing that you can do is to show up in a way where you're just listening and you're saying, you know, I'm so sorry. Let me, you know, just say I'm here for you. If there's anything I can do, let me know. Like, and I think people really overcomplicate it a lot. I was very, very fortunate to have an incredible partner, and he has stayed by my side through all of this. My heart goes out to people who go through something so extreme and don't have someone to lean on, because I really, truly don't know how I would have gotten through it without him. But yeah, it's a really wild experience.
Yeah, I just like start laughing at it. Yeah. I mean, you get to that point where you must. I hadn't even thought of the implications of just like sharing your story or being in that space. Not only do people just feel uncomfortable around sick people, but when you share something with them that just rattles at their core beliefs, it is challenging, you know, and people don't know how to handle that situation. I hadn't even thought about the implications of that. Wow. Yeah. And I mean, I couldn't imagine being in that space and then not having a partner, somebody close to me, living with me, caring for me. I mean, what a gift to have your partner there with you. And you said it too, like, I mean, even giving you water, like.
Oh yeah. No, he has single-handedly like kept me alive on more days than I can count. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, everything that we just like talked about is not even the actual physical experience of like losing your ability to care for yourself or losing the ability to walk or losing the ability to have just like a normal meal and to not feel like you're going to explode, you know? I mean, so it's crazy to me that anyone going through this, and it's, I feel fortunate to have been able to connect with so many people who are experiencing this. You know, I'm sad to like hear, oh, another person is experiencing this. And what's trippy about it is that like most of the time from the people I hear from, they are not even given any kind of diagnosis. And half the time their culture will come back of like, oh, I got it for a UTI. And it turned out I didn't even have a UTI and it, you know, destroyed me. So that's one of the biggest things that I feel kind of responsible for at this point is like paying it forward and just letting people know that, you know, something as simple as an ear infection or an eye infection or a UTI or mild stomach discomfort, you can be just prescribed a fluoroquinolone antibiotic. And so I really just try to, you know, instead of saying like, this is what I would do, it's really not about that. It's just like, just make yourself informed on the topic, because I wish I knew about it a few years ago, because I would have very simply just, you know, asked for something else when I was in that situation. And my life will look completely differently right now. And I, you know, I'm doing everything I can to just make the most of like all of this and to turn it into something that's just like really, really phenomenal and uplifting and positive. And that's essentially too where Celebrate the Little Wins came from. But yeah, it's just, it's a really strange experience and one that I never thought, you know, would be part of my story. But now that it is, I think, you know, like when life presents itself to you in certain ways that you just never planned for and are just like, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, like it is an opportunity to kind of move to the other side of being like, okay, well, what good can I do with it?
Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining that you're actually connecting with a lot of people that have said that they've gotten floxed, and you mentioned some of the situations where they would have been prescribed like UTIs, ear infections. What are some of the stories you've heard? Are they similar to yours in that it's a delayed onset thing, or they're kind of a mixture of stuff? Is it triggered by the NSAID or does it come on suddenly? Like what sorts of stories are you hearing from other individuals about it?
It's definitely been a combination of stories like mine and ones that have reactions right away. Things like steroids, NSAIDs can essentially contradict the fluoroquinolone and cause a reaction. Fluoroquinolone antibiotics it's kind of a rough terrain in terms of who might be affected by it. We do know that if you are magnesium deficient, if you have MTHFR, if you are anemic, are all things that make you more susceptible to being floxed if you take a fluoroquinolone. Fluoroquinolones can have a cumulative effect as well, where you take it one time and you're fine, and then you take it the next and you're not. People seem to have a wide range of symptoms. And the reason for that is that fluoroquinolone antibiotics can cause severe mitochondrial damage. Mitochondrial damage can look different for everyone. So for some people, you know, I would say more the generalized symptoms, it can mess up your gut, cause all sorts of GI issues. It can affect your heart, your eyes, your kidneys, your central nervous system, your liver. So many things are affected by this. And again, it kind of sits under the framework of mitochondrial damage. So there is a lot that you can do to heal. It seems that everyone's path to healing looks a little differently. Certain things that work for me may not work for somebody else and vice versa. But a lot of it is right now kind of in this space of, you know, there is not a protocol in terms of like the one size fits all that even doctors are aware of. There's only a few doctors in the entire world that, in my opinion, are really aware of this topic and actually know how to, you know, approach the treatment. One of those doctors is Dr. Mark Galili out of LA. He's a regenerative doctor. And I went to see him initially when I was really just feeling like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to survive this. So it was a little bit of like a last ditch effort of like, nothing I'm doing is working. You know, I need to see someone who can tell me something about this topic, because there's there's not a resource on the internet where it's just like all things fluoroquinolone toxicity, where you can really find sound information. You know, certain things, like if you're floxed and you take like B6, for example, it can cause all sorts of methylation issues and is a neurotoxin to some people. And if you have things like MTHFR, you might be more susceptible. So there's a lot of like very little nuanced things about this journey. Dr. G really helped me to kick off my healing journey. And it's been like more than a full-time job in the last year and a half, just getting back to baseline of even just being able to like sit here and chat with you. I went months and months and months not even being able to like sit in a chair normally because of the tendon and nerve pain that I've had. So one of the things for me that I've experienced is widespread tendon and nerve pain, which is just so trippy to experience, where it's like one day I'll be absolutely fine and the next day I'm like, you know, can't walk again. And luckily everything that I'm doing is working. And, you know, anyone who's suffering with this, I'd just like to make it clear that healing is possible. It just really takes a lot of, I think navigating it in a creative way and creatively problem solving to discover what really works for you. So
what have you found to be like, if you could choose, I know that you said like personally, it's going to look so different depending on a bunch of different factors, but if you could just look back on your healing journey, this full-time job that you're currently doing, what have been some, sort of the highlights for you in the individuals that you've connect with, whether it be Dr. G or others, the practices that you're doing, like what are some of the key things that you've noticed have really been helpful for you and that you're really thankful for?
That's a great question. There are definitely, I could probably write a book at this point of everything that I've done. The things that stand out the most to me are definitely foundationally, I would say diet is incredibly important. Making sure that you have ultra clean water, the meat, and you know, any of your protein sources are highest quality, grass-fed, pasture-raised, local farm, pretty much as a cleanest food source that you can possibly find. Eliminating things like, there are varying degrees depending on how badly you were affected. Granted, I had a very severe case. So cutting out things like caffeine, all stimulants, wheat, refined sugar, all teas, green tea, anything that has potential source of fluoride. There's others as well. You can find more in my relief guide. I have a free relief guide available for anyone who's suffering with it. I have a whole trigger list that's about probably 50 things to avoid. Other things that are really important to avoid are things like NSAIDs. Had I known that, I have no doubt I could have avoided being in a wheelchair for a year of my life. Steroids, lots of different types of medications. So I think getting like the food foundation is really, really important.
Yeah.
After and that,
you share a lot of food stuff on your Instagram as well, right? Like what you're doing,
yeah,
and diet stuff.
A lot of clean eating. I have a background. When I wasn't performing, I was a former private chef. So I do a lot of like clean eating recipes now and stuff to, you know, help those who are looking for that kind of thing.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Everything's coming together. Okay. So diet. Yep. What were the other things?
Yep. Other things that are really important are minerals and antioxidants. So like glutathione and CoQ10 and ALA, those can all be really helpful. It seems that depending, again, on how badly you were floxed, certain people will do really well with those and certain people will be like, oh, I don't do glutathione orally well, but I can do it intravenously. So it's very nuanced, like I said before, and part of it is just, you know, discovering what works for you. Minerals are really important too. Magnesium, potassium, selenium, boron. Let's see. Those are definitely probably more foundational that are really important. And again, obviously this is not medical advice. This is just what's worked for me. But other ones, let's see, like collagen peptides. Jellyfish collagen has really helped me a lot. Jellyfish collagen is one of the most bioavailable forms of collagen on the market. And that's just, it's one of my favorites. As well as deuterium depleted water. That has been incredibly helpful for me. Peptides, different ones that I really enjoy. Ones like BPC 157 have been really helpful. And then I think focusing on healing the gut, you know, obviously that's a really big area that is generally affected by fluoroquinolone toxicity and can get torn apart. And I have found things like colostrum, gelatin, grass-fed gelatin. Again, all of these, you know, finding like the highest quality source that you possibly possibly can. And in my relief guide, I have all of these linked too for anyone who's like overwhelmed by it. I pretty much just, when all this happened to me, I was pretty much just like, wow, I feel more alone than I've ever felt before. I literally feel like no one believes me. No one, I don't even have anyone to talk to who's been through this. You know, so like all of these things were just like my daily reality. And then simultaneously, you know, being gaslit by doctors and family and friends and people, just like it was just so overwhelming. And then on top of all that, it's like the physical experience of like losing your ability to do, you know, I could no longer go for walks or hold a pen or pick up a cup with my hand, you know, like you lose your ability to just function normally. And it's a crazy like physical experience. And then the mental and emotional like trauma from it is, you know, so isolating. So essentially my whole goal in the beginning was just like, you know, I just need to like build community for myself so I don't feel so alone. And then the more that I started sharing, even though it was like, it's really been the most uncomfortable thing I've ever shared in my life. Cause I share a lot of really vulnerable stuff and things that, you know, is like super cringe. I'm just like, whatever. Like, I know this is going to help me in some way. And so I really just do my best to show up like as the person that I needed when all this happened.
I'm of the approach that alcohol, if used responsibly, can be a really nice experience. The problem when you're eating a ketogenic diet is most alcohol, especially wine, is completely off the table because a lot of wines add a ton of sugar. So it is possible to enjoy wine on your ketogenic diet, and that's why I personally love Dry Farm wines. I've been working with them since about 2018, so it's been a while. These guys continue to produce and pull together. They really curate the best quality wines out there that have zero sugar. Now, this isn't going to affect your overall ketones, though when there's alcohol in your system, your ketones will reduce. Unlike other wines where not only is your body responding to the alcohol and burning through the alcohol, it's also responding to the glucose. So in the case of Dry Farm wines, where they're curating some of the best zero sugar wines, you'll be back into ketosis the next morning. What I love about Dry Farm wines is that not only do they care about sourcing zero sugar products, but they also care about small sustainable farming, natural wines, organic, really searching for low alcohol wines. You get to enjoy the wine without getting totally sloshed. Zero additives, zero carbs, and the coolest part of all is that when you make your first order, you can add an extra bottle of wine to your order for just a penny. If you want to learn more about Dry Farm wines and what I'm talking about, the best place to go is dryfarmwines.com/LeanneVogel. So that's dryfarmwines.com/LeanneVogel, LeanneVogel. When you head on over to that page, we'll give you more information about Dry Farm wines, what you're looking at, how you can use this, what's wrong with wine today, including the chemical farming and the labeling issues, really so that you can educate yourself on what to look for in a good wine. Again, that's dryfarmwines.com/LeanneVogel. How has the creative process been like for you? Because as a very like creative human being, what was that like for you? Are you now channeling that creativity into the work you're doing now? I know myself as a creative, when there are moments in my life where I can't create, it's just such a terrible feeling. Did you have that? Was that part of some of the challenges that you had walking through this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm still going through that in different ways. It pretty much started at, you know, like I play multiple instruments. I always have a notebook and a pen with me. I'm always writing. At least that was my reality before all this happened. And when I started to lose like functionality over my body, I was no longer able to play any instruments. I couldn't pick up the ukulele or sit down at a piano or play the flute or get behind the drums, whatever it was. Like even singing hurt. And singing is like, you know, one of my main go-tos, right? So yeah, it pretty much at the beginning, there was no way except to maybe like whisper to get out any type of creative idea. Eric would sit by my side like month after month with a guitar and just try and, you know, create a space that could be like something could come through. But it was just so, I was so like distraught. And I definitely felt a lot of, I mean, like, what do you do? How do you cope when like your world's falling apart and every form and coping modality that you rely on is no longer possible? And so it really put me into this like introspective phase of my life in a way that I just didn't ever, you know, knew existed before. So yeah, for the last year and a half, I haven't been able to play my instruments, which is crazy for me, you know, going every single day playing. There's been many months when I haven't been able to write. Thankfully, I feel like I'm finally past that where, you know, my fingers and my wrists are strong enough to write even a little bit, you know, most days. But it's been a really long journey. And it was really only just a couple months ago in like mid-January where I was actually able to sing for the first time without having severe tendon and nerve pain in my chest and shoulders and you know, where it didn't feel like the tendons were tearing off my bones. So it started to create this really weird experience where I was actually like starting to fear the things that I loved so much, where I was like, well, if I sing, am I going to be suffering in pain again? Because I would do that constantly, like month after month, all of last year. And then I'd just be out and I'd feel like my shoulder's falling out of its, you know, socket and my tendons are tearing off again. And I'm like, how long do I have to go? Like, is this like what my future is like? You know, I think you start thinking about it, like you just start spiraling in ways. And so, yeah, it's been like this internal, you know, when you feel like you don't have anything left and nothing is working and you just are not sure what the future looks like anymore because you've been through such trauma. Like, I think it really makes you just go to a place internally that is like led with faith. And I've always felt like a very faithful person and like, you know, trusting that, but it really didn't hit me like it did when I was just at the end of the road and I was kind of like, I don't even know if I'm going to survive this. Like, maybe this is the end, you know? And I think when you like meet yourself there and it's the end of all your dreams, life as you know it, it gives you an opportunity to move into a space of more faith and more like leading with the path that is presenting itself to you. And you start leaning into that trust even more. And I think you can go the complete opposite too, where you become hardened and you become bitter. And I had a lot of days too, where I was just like, wow, I'm so bitter from this, or I'm so angry, or man, I feel like the sprightly, like young, beautiful person that I felt like I was is gone. And I don't like, you know, you just don't know anymore. So I've experienced both. And I can definitely say with like confidence that the other side, you know, leaning into how is this happening for me? Even when it is the hardest thing and you can't even see a path forward, like how is this happening for me? And moving through faith with that will bring like the most incredible people in your life, will bring the most incredible opportunities forward. And, you know, for that, I'm like, thank you so much for this experience. You know, even though it's still hard. It's still hard on the daily, but I'm moving through it in a way of just being like, I know I will fully heal from this and I will stop at nothing to get there. And then I'm going to help other people do it. And that's pretty cool.
That kind of leads me to my next question. As you were talking, I was wondering, have you thought about kind of where this is going to go for you? Like, where do you want this to go in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? I'm not that type of person. Like when people ask me this question, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just going to roll with it. But some people really think about those things and they marinate on them and dream about those things. Like where it sounds like part of it is going to be like, I'm going to get better and I'm going to help other people. Have you put into thought about what that would look like, or sky's the limit? Like, have you put any thought into what that would look like down the road?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've had so many days where I'm just like laying staring at the wall. You know, I think like you have to, there is part of the healing journey where you actually have to take yourself out of the present moment in order to get through it. And you have to start creating this vision in your mind and in your heart. And you have to start feeling what these emotions and this experience would feel like in your ideal world and where you see yourself being. So yeah, I mean, my ultimate goal is to get back to the stage. I want to be performing on stage again and, you know, singing my songs with millions of people around the world. That's first and foremost for me. I see Celebrate the Little Wins becoming a self-sponsoring community of sorts where people who are suffering with this are, you know, they're seen and they're helped and they're acknowledged and they feel like they have a community to rely on and a place that will help them get through this. So, you know, one thing that is incredibly helpful that I don't see at all in this community yet is in terms of like the floxed kind of space is everyone fends for themselves. And, you know, there's a lot of space for financial help and people who need help, whether it's with treatments or supplements or, you know, different lifestyle changes and whatnot. There's so many aspects to this that is just such a 360 like experience. And yeah, I would just love to connect the dots for that and provide people a space of healing. So ultimately, I think with Celebrate the Little Wins, it is to create that space for people. So I'm really excited. We're going to be launching, ideally, when this comes out, it'll already be launched.
Which is crazy. Yes. Yes. That's so exciting. Tell us more about what, because a website doesn't just come up together over the course of a day. So what's kind of been your vision around the design of it and just like, how do you want people to feel? I know that you, being an artist, you've probably thought about all those things. What are you trying to achieve with it? Like what's the meat behind it?
The ultimate goal with Celebrate the Little Wins is to help people discover their natural ability to heal and overcome anything. I think what I've experienced through this is fluoroquinolone toxicity can be incredibly hopeless. And there are a lot of people who get so messed up by it and don't have the right tools that it seems like healing is not possible. But I do want people to know that even if you are going through like the worst of the worst, that healing is possible. And pretty much like whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So Celebrate the Little Wins ultimately in my mind would remind people of that and provide them a space to exist in and to be inspired by and to feel hopeful, because these are all things that like I did not feel when it happened to me. And I had to like pull myself out of the trenches on the daily, and I still do for the last year and a half, and find any means that I possibly can that help me keep going. So I really just strive for it to be like this space that includes people, that makes them feel like there is more and you can actually build something incredible out of like the terrible things that have happened in your life. As far as like functionality and stuff goes, there will be lots of resources, ebooks, things that, you know, I wish I had in the beginning of all this, as well as for people who are not floxed, who are just looking to, you know, maybe strengthen their idea of like what they can do and where they can take the creativity. And yeah, I think there's a lot of space too for it to grow creatively, like in the community of like, what does the community want? And it's pretty cool just starting that kind of like movement online, because I have found that there's thousands of people around the world who are even struggling with other things that have nothing to do with fluoroquinolone toxicity, that find hope and peace in being like, ah, if that person can do that, then maybe I can do it too. And that's something I really wish I knew in the beginning, which is like, you know, I had a really, when I found the doctor that I ended up seeing, Dr. G, what really called me to him is that he was floxed as well years prior, and he healed himself. And when I saw that, I was just like, if he can do that, I can do that. Doesn't matter the details, you know, like I'll inevitably figure the details out along the road. But if one person can do that, I can do that. So I'd really just like it to be like that, you know, shining light and example too, where it just provides like a comforting space, an encouraging space, and kind of like, you know, how are you going to build something incredible out of like the terrible things you've been dealt?
Do you think it will influence your music in the creative process behind all of that?
Absolutely. It actually already has. We've been working on a lot of material that is like, you know, I think as an artist, like you always like love, or you have different like varying degrees of how much you like or love what you've created in the past. And then I think there's like this different level of depth that you can tap into when you do go through something that's just like unimaginable, because there's been like so many thoughts and things that have just inevitably like come up through this experience that has given us so much like lyrical and melodic fodder, if you will. I mean, there have even been songs that have come up that I have written just completely a cappella because I didn't have the ability to play a piano or play a chord on the ukulele like I normally would, like in writing a song. So there's definitely like a lot of discovery to be found if you are willing to jump into that, you know, creatively problem solve like what you're up against. And they're like some of the best songs I've ever written. But the process to getting there was like pulling teeth because I like hated it. I was like, insert every swear word imaginable. Like, I just wanted to be on the piano and just being like expressing like I normally would, you know, where it's like, it's almost feeding your melodic structure of your song in a way. But this was just like, well, like, where does it go when there isn't any of that structure? And they've like become some of the craziest songs I've ever written. So I think there's always opportunity in moments that don't even feel like they have opportunity if you're willing to go there. And if you're willing to just sit with yourself and like literally just be uncomfortable. I mean, I've experienced almost 2 years of my life just being so incredibly uncomfortable, like every single day, where I just want to like crawl out of my skin because I'm so uncomfortable, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally, just processing and figuring out ways like, oh, I don't even know how to process like this kind of PTSD or whatever it is. But I think there's always like that opportunity to look for and, you know, essentially like that little win to look for no matter what it is that you're going through. And that's really how Celebrate Little Wins came about, is just literally not being able to do anything. And then being like, well, what is the one thing I can do right now? And I'm like, oh, I can open my eyes. And even though I can't move my body, I can see. And I can see that like that fire flickering next to me. And that's so beautiful. Thank you. I can still see, like, I can see, you know? And so like relishing in those feelings and then stacking the little wins, if you will, every single day has just become like this muscle that I've been working over and over and over again. And it's tedious, you know, and it can be exhausting and you're just like, I just don't want to do it anymore, you know, but I think if you can do that, like regardless of what it is that you're going through and just, you know, take a step back, take a breath and be like, you know, what is that little win? What is that one thing I can be thankful for or notice something good in? Then you can start stacking those little wins and ultimately they become like the biggest things, the greatest things in your day, you know?
Kylie, this is incredible. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. You are so inspiring. I know that whether an individual has been floxed or they're just dealing with a hard time, your words and the stuff that you share online is just you can tell that you're an artist. You're so good with your words. You're so intentional with how you describe things. Everything you've said sounds like poetry. And so it's just incredible to hear your story from your perspective. And I'm just so thankful that you're doing this. And I know that regardless, like you said, whether an individual is floxed or they're just on really hard times, I know that the content that you share and the artistry behind even the food preparation, it makes so much sense that you have that background. Cause I'm like, there's something here to this. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Where can people find more from you? How can they connect with you? You mentioned your new website. Can you tell us all the details about how to connect?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for that. It means so much. I'm like, I was like, oh no, don't tear up. It's so kind of you though. And I just want to say too that like I feel your heart online, and I think that's just one of the most like beautiful things that you can provide as a creator, as an artist. Just it's so refreshing, and just wanted to make sure I thank you for that. And I know a lot of other people feel that too. I mean, clearly.
Thanks.
You can find me anywhere at Celebrate the Little Wins, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and then celebratethelittlewins.com. And yay. I'm so excited for it. And I do have a fluoroquinolone toxicity relief guide that just has a lot of resources in it that may be helpful to someone who finds himself in a situation of being like, oh, you know, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia or Lyme's or MS. And what really happened was you were floxed, you know, which is something I hear of often. So anyway, if you're looking for resources, there's a lot in there. My DMs are always open. If anyone is out there who's going through something hard and they just, you know, need a friend, I'm here. And of course, Leanne's here. Obviously, she's awesome.
I'm here. And I'm going to include the toxicity relief guide link in the show notes because I know it's like a little bit complicated. It's like stan.store/. So we're just going to include the link in the show notes so people can click that and get it. Thanks for coming on. This was so good to get to know you more. And I hope that the people that are listening become your friend that need to be your friend because that is just such a warm invite. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Leanne. It's been a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed our time with Kylie. Again, her Instagram is @celebratethelittlewins. TikTok, the same thing. Her website, celebratethelittlewins.com. And then I will include the access to her toxicity relief guide in the show notes because it's a super long URL and I just don't want you to have to go through typing all that out. So check out the show notes for links. And we will see you back here for another episode of the podcast. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Join us next Tuesday for another episode of the Keto Diet Podcast. Looking for more resources? Go to healthfulpursuit.com for keto meal plans, weight loss programs, low-carb recipes, and oodles of free resources to get you going. The Keto Diet Podcast, including show notes and links, provides information in respect to healthy living, recipes, nutrition, and diet, and is intended for informational purposes only. The information provided is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, nor is it to be construed as such. We cannot guarantee that the information provided on the Keto Diet Podcast reflects the most up-to-date medical research. Information is provided without any representation or warranties of any kind. Please consult a qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding your health and nutrition program.